Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to Poorly Read. This is episode 2, where we're going to talk about chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
So I'm Gifton.
And I'm Tom. Yeah, these chapters, just overall, I really enjoyed listening to.
Oh, yeah?
I think they're great. Like, there's like iconic scenes in these chapters. This is our big introduction to the Wizarding World, this whole section, really.
Yeah, I guess so. I think listening back, I couldn't help but just be a bit like, ugh. a lot of it. I gotta say, I mean, it's all like lovely. Yeah, it's like we all love Harry Potter. But it was that having to sort of go through his discovery with him. All I kept on thinking a lot of the time was, why don't wizards just do this? Or why do wizards just do that? And it was very hard because at some point I had to go, look, if that was the case, then there just wouldn't be a book, would there?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. A lot of, they just do this whimsical shit for the sake of there being a fun little world to explore.
But yeah, so we pick up the night before,
yeah.
Where Hagrid has just delivered the news to Harry that he's a wizard, and Harry willingly accepts it, and he goes to sleep, and then he wakes up the morning thinking that it might have all been a dream.
Reasonable, I guess.
I mean, it is reasonable. I mean, I don't know if I ever would wake up and... Actually, no, maybe I would. I do remember I used to have... There was a period where I think I was maybe about 10 or 11, and all I wanted in life was an Apple laptop. And I used to have dreams that I got one. And I remember waking up and my heart would break because I realized it wasn't real.
I've had those dreams. Yeah. Dreams where I'm suddenly rich as fuck. And I'm like, I'm being like generous. I'm really enjoying like just helping out my friends and like, and knowing that I'm never going to have to worry about money again. And then I wake up and for a second, I think, oh, thank God I'm rich now. And then you look at where you are and you go, oh.
Oh, damn, my cardboard box got wet overnight. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas Harry seems to have the opposite.
Yeah,
he's woken up convinced that stuff that has, the big revelation has really been a dream.
Yeah.
And then he comes to and realizes that, no, it wasn't a dream. It's all real. Oh, man.
Kind of makes you sick, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, what a cunt. So yeah, he wakes up and there's an owl knocking at the window.
Tapping at the thing.
That's it, yeah.
Owls truly are a ridiculous way of getting things to people.
For real.
I mean...
Like, what if a hawk sees them?
Yeah. Also, is there an owl for every wizard who gets the Daily Prophet?
Huh, what a question.
Like, that's a... I mean...
I can only assume the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay, put it this way. There's only a couple thousand wizards in Britain...
Really?
Yeah. So there's quite a low number. There's something like, I think it's like under 5,000. And so like the population of Hogwarts is like in like a few hundred. So like each year, I think there's only like 20 people in Harry's year or something like that. And then they're split between the houses. So that's like 5 new people, like on average per house.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because we know who all the new Gryffindors are.
Yeah, exactly. So I can imagine there must be like, let's say 1,000 wizards subscribe to the, I'm going to get to the subscription in a minute, to the Daily Prophet. That's like 1,000 owls. That's not that many.
No, I guess not.
Okay, so my big point was, surely you would need to pay for your subscription in advance.
I did think that as well. Like having to give them like 5 knuts every morning for the paper is ridiculous.
Yeah, and like, and what if you don't have the money? I guess the owl just doesn't give it to you then.
Yeah.
And if the owl goes back with the paper still, I guess that owl doesn't live to see another day, right? Oh, God. So Harry searches through Hagrid's pockets. He's got mice in his coat.
Old food and stuff.
Yeah, like,
I mean, the man's a fucking slob.
He is. He's like, he's an actual vagabond. Yeah. You know? Like,
yeah, yeah. Like,
so they pay off the owl. The owl flies away. And then he says to Harry that they're going to spend that day they're going to go and get Harry's school things for his first term at Hogwarts. And Harry agreed to say something. He says... Harry asked him how he got there, what did he say? He says something like, how did you get here then?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then Hagrid goes, oh, I flew here.
Yeah.
And I was like, on what? Because you haven't got your motorbike with you and I can't see a broom.
Just flew.
Oi just jumped really far and Oi landed right on the rock, Oi did. Wow, Hagrid. That,
yeah, you're right. That's some pretty powerful...
Yeah.
Like, Dumbledore can just fly. Voldemort can just fly.
I don't know if Dumbledore can fly.
I'm sure he can, if but, he put his mind to it.
Okay. Tell you what, if I have a couple of fizzing whizbees, yeah. I'd fly. But yeah, like, Voldemort can fly and he taught Snape to fly. See, Dumbledore probably could fly, but yeah, I imagine that's quite advanced magic to fly without an
Hagrid
aid.
Sure as fuck can't.
I mean, what did he fly? I mean, unless he just sat on his fucking umbrella and was like, maybe he literally did like a Mary Poppins.
Oh, I hope he did.
That would make my day because it'd be so like calamitous. Do you know what I mean?
So, this brings me to my next point. He says he flew there. Yeah. Whatever means, I don't know. Maybe she just hadn't really thought about the magical technicalities of actually flying yet. So he flew there, fine. And he says, not supposed to use magic once he's got Harry.
Yeah.
So let's take the boat. So they takes the Dursleys' boat, leaving them there stranded.
Oh, yeah.
And then uses magic anyway. So he just, I mean, fair play, because the Dursleys are horrible, but
that's true.
He just fucks them over for no reason.
Yeah.
Under the pretense of not being able to use magic, so steals their boat and then uses magic anyway.
I mean, you might as well have just said, like, Harry, go wait outside. Yeah. You're not going to just kill them all.
Make sure you never have to go back there again. Maybe if he has the boat, like, it's easier to claim that he didn't use magic.
I mean, I guess so.
And how did the Dursleys get off that rock?
That's such a good question. I get the feeling they probably had to stand on... because they're not that far out to sea.
No.
It is like an island that's like just like off of the coast of wherever they... they went to Dover, I think, didn't they? I think so. So maybe. I think it's like a little thing just off the coast of it. So I can only imagine they like stood on the thing and waved.
Yeah, so he fucks over the Dursleys and just takes their thing. And Hagrid... talks about the stuff that's... Oh, yeah, Harry panics because he doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
Then Hagrid tells him about Gringotts and says you'd be mad to try and rob it. And I wrote, ooh, foreshadowing.
I did write down something about Gringotts, but it's not until... it was when they actually get there. So I'll save it for then.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know why I brought it up now, really. But there we are. So, like, so they go through London. And Hagrid says something like, oh, I don't know how you muggles cope with... life, basically. And immediately I thought, well, first of all, fuck you. Yeah. Like, I think we do just fine. Secondly, like, other than being able to cure, like, a muggle malady with magic and being able to, like, apparate, wizards aren't, like, better off almost at all.
Not really.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they've only got, like, their only entertainment is the fucking wireless. Do you know what I mean? They've not got TV, films.
There is a lot that's, like, proper old timely about the wizarding world. Like that, yeah, like they don't have TV, but someone who's essentially muggle born, which Harry isn't technically, but might as well be socially, and someone who's brought up in the wizarding world, they just, I mean, I'm amazed that there isn't more segregation within Hogwarts because all of the muggle born kids would have things in common and all of the wizard raised kids would have things in common and they would have very little to talk to
each other about. That's so true. Yeah, because if you like lived only in a wizarding family, you'd have no because you wouldn't be able to talk about anything, because all the things that you when you're a kid, nearly everything that you talk about is based on stuff that you've like seen.
Yeah, like pop culture stuff.
Yeah, because it's like, think about the things that the games that you would play and stuff like that. They're usually based upon like, oh, let's pretend to be this thing.
Yeah,
which is like based on a thing that you've seen or like a cartoon film or something like that. You wouldn't even have read the same books.
Yeah, unlike childhood stories and stuff, they're all different.
Also, how do fucking muggle kids get to Hogwarts and not fucking hate it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd just be like, oh god, I can't deal with not having a TV or a PlayStation or an iPod or anything. Like, do you even have showers here or just fucking like cast iron bathtubs?
Yeah.
Like, I can't deal. I'm going home. Anyway, so before any of this happens, they visit the Leaky Cauldron. Yeah. Harry gets his first like real taste of like fame. Because everyone in the Leaky Cauldron's like, bloody hell, it's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And who's the barman?
Tom.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, Harry Potter, so nice to see you. Yeah, did Dumbledore tell the Wizarding World at large then that Harry had been put away into the Muggle world? Because everyone's like, oh, it's good to see you, to like have you back, or we always knew you would return, or that kind of thing. So they must know that Harry wasn't part of the Wizarding World, or was, like, away.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which is a bit bizarre.
It is a little bit, because, I mean, it's not like he was hidden away from society completely. Like, people saw him.
Exactly. Like, Deedless Diggle saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he bowed to him and everything.
Exactly. And Harry remembers.
Yeah, he did remember, and that, that's fucking excited. Highlight of Deedless. He's like, you know, he went home and told his wife about that.
Yeah.
Probably rubbed one out to it later. Anyway. So
yeah, so everyone shakes his hand, and then Doris Crockford keeps coming back for more. Quote.
Fucking hell, eager
thirsty
bitch.
Old Doris Crockford.
Does she ever come up again in the books?
I don't know.
I'm gonna like listen out for that now. Good old Doris. So yeah, so they meet Quirrell, who is like stuttering and seems oddly nervous to meet Harry.
Yeah, and does so. And Hagrid knows him and says he's almost afraid of his students and stuff.
Yeah.
So the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, like, you know, quote unquote curse.
Yeah.
That where they only last a year only starts when Harry starts at Hogwarts. Then
the curse started before Harry was even born.
Did it?
Yeah.
What, on the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher?
Yeah, because remember when. It's in book six that there's a pensive moment. It's when Voldemort first starts getting Voldemort-y, and he applies for the job, and he goes for an interview with Dumbledore, and then Dumbledore basically says that there's no way he's getting that job. And he, while he's there, is when he hides one of the Horcruxes in the Room of Requirement, and when he leaves there, Harry, after the pensive moment's finished, Harry says something like, oh, like, something about the job. And then Dumbledore's like, well, yes, I can imagine he was quite angry, because ever since that night, we haven't been able to keep a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher for more than a year.
Ooh.
Yeah. Spooky.
I feel like she added that later.
She fucking added everything.
Yeah. The dialogue in this scene in the Leaky Cauldron with Quirrell... Yeah. Does you could construe it in a way that yeah he's been away, but it sounds like he's been there in that post for a while.
But no, I will say this: they do make it quite explicit that he's not been the same since he came back from Albania.
True. And is he wearing his turban at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Even though when he sees him in the Great Hall in Hogwarts, he says he was looking very peculiar in a purple turban.
I mean, maybe he was wearing a, like, more modest turban.
Yeah.
Might have been wearing, like, a lovely...
Or a hat.
Yeah, maybe he was wearing a lovely hat.
Yeah.
Might have been wearing a baseball cap. Yeah. You know, with, like, MAGA across the front. Make America Great Again. Okay, don't worry. That was a joke for all our other listeners who aren't Tom. So then they go into Diagon Alley. That's not the music for that bit. What's the music for that bit?
I don't know, mate.
That's it. It's the... Like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But yeah, so, right, to go into Diagon Alley and Harry sees shit he's never seen before.
Yeah. One note I had is, who would get a screech owl? Sounds awful.
The fact that they let them bring any pets to Hogwarts... They're fucking like 11-year-old kids.
Right?
Like...
I could not have kept a pet alive at 11 years old.
I fucking got two cats and I'm 30 and I still fucking struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like... And it must just be a fucking mess everywhere.
Yeah, constantly.
Yeah, like, and who's fucking feeding the cats? I guess the house elves, right? I guess they're the ones that are changing the litter as well.
Yeah, but is that not... I guess it can't be up to the students.
Yeah, because how would you... You just wouldn't.
It's a pretty big privilege to be like, you can bring a pet, we'll arrange for it to be fed, and because the students aren't buying pet food and shit. Like, maybe it gets sent from home, but...
That's...
I don't know.
I mean, because how are they going to send it? A fucking barn owl ain't going to bring, like, a 1 kilogram bag of, like, cat food.
No.
Be fucking knackered, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's just a fucking ridiculous notion.
And also, how do they get in and out of the portrait holes?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just like, oh, it's an animal, I'll open for them.
I guess. I mean, the owls can go in and out the windows.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe the rats can just go in little cracks in the floor and stuff. But cats really have to be let out and let back in.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Pain.
And also, are they allowed to bring pets to lessons with them?
So what are they doing while they're in lessons? I mean, owls go in the owlery. There is an owlery, to be fair.
I mean, Crookshanks just used to, like, lounge about in the Gryffindor common room. But Crookshanks was a Kneasel, or a Kneasel, however she pronounces it. So it was like a magic cat.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a cross between two, like a normal cat and like a magic cat, I think. Or like a magic feline beast. Oh. So that's why Crookshanks was like super smart. Yeah. More just fucking JK stupidness. Yeah, so right, when Hagrid's taking him around, one thing I do think is, why would Dumbledore send Hagrid to do any of this stuff when Hagrid isn't allowed to do magic? I thought that was a really quite irresponsible thing to do.
Yeah, it's a weird choice, isn't
it? Yeah, why wouldn't you send at least like McGonagall to do it? Or or even just like another member of the Order.
Yeah.
Like one of the Weasley, like Molly Weasley. Or who's the dad? Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or why didn't fucking Dumbledore just get off his fucking arse and go?
Yeah, Hagrid does seem like a weird choice for a lot of this.
Maybe Dumbledore was like, I think, and then Hagrid was like, oh, no, Dumbledore, I really want to go. Got him when he was a babby.
Yeah, Hagrid's, like, affection for Harry is a bit weird. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's famous. I think if Harry was just a regular kid who had, like, had a bit of, you know, trouble, like his pet, you know, some parent troubles, and Hagrid had to go and get him and introduce him.
Mm.
I feel like he would be a bit more like, all right, you're all set. Cheers, done my job. But it's Harry Potter, so he's like, oh, I've got to be friends with him.
I disagree. Cause I think it's that thing that... Because think about it, Hagrid was like flying over Bristol, carrying this baby in his arms on that motorbike that night. So he'd seen two of his friends. He's probably seen their bodies in the house, two of his friends. And their son, who he probably like, there was probably like a christening for Harry and all that sort of stuff that they all went to, and he's having to carry this baby boy.
Was there? Did they have the same religions?
Maybe not a christening, maybe like a
whatever ceremony.
Yeah, a wizarding.
Oh yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they. You know, what would they like bless them with? Butterbeer, I guess. Right.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other magical liquids at all.
There isn't. There's barely even fucking water. Just butter beer or pumpkin juice. That's all anyone on fire whiskey.
Yeah.
Or fucking like amber liquids. Ooh, I need to stop knocking the mic stand, said Hagrid. So they start talking about, first of all, like the list of the shit they do need to get for school. I thought it was like, why do they need hats?
It's only the first years as well, like the first years have these ridiculous pointy hats.
Maybe it's just like, I guess, like, why do you need like a tie at school?
Just the uniform.
Yeah, it's just bollocks, isn't it? But I do think it was like, other than that, it was pretty like decent, the stuff that they needed.
Yeah, I gotta say, I did like this chapter on the whole, because it really is like the big eye-opening, splendorful, if that's a word, moments of like Harry seeing the wizarding world for the first time. And it does, like, you know, now obviously we've read the books, and I assume that if there is anyone listening to this that whoever listens to it has read all the books, or at least seen all the films, or at least knows the story as well. I seriously doubt that anyone listening to this that is going to be like sensitive to spoilers. But like, we, you know, we all know about the wizarding world now, but going back and listening to, like, going back and experiencing again Harry's first kind of moments in the wizarding world and his initial amazement was nice.
Yeah, I do agree, actually. And it was actually quite nice just to all like the little like novel mentions of like the books he needs and things like that. I thought, oh, okay, that's actually kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Because you would get, I mean, even when we were at school, you got excited about buying like your new like stationery for the year and stuff. And like, at least I did.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a female thing. Because like everyone I speak to would be like, oh my God, yes, I got like a new like pencil case and like my like Oxford mathematics set from W. H. Smith.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. Yeah, those were days. And those pencil cases, they were like plastic and rectangular, and they had like drawers in them.
Man, you did get excited about stationery, didn't you?
Oh my God, when I got a sharpener.
I do not remember my school stationery in this much detail.
Oh God, it was so good. I remember my friend had like a Hercules one, and it was blue. and it had, it was like rectangular and had loads of little like compartments that you press the button and the drawer popped out. Then it had like a little flip up lid for like your pencils and shit, and I wanted it so badly, and I could only find one that was like an Action Man one, so I got that and I hated it so much. But at the end of the school year, she gave me the Hercules one. I was really happy.
Ah, that's a good story.
Yeah. Anywho.
So yeah, a note that I have is 17 sickles to a galleon, 29 knuts to a sickle. That makes 493 knuts to a galleon. Makes no fucking sense. Did she do it deliberately just to be like, look how quirky and weird it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's so, it's that kind of thing where she's like, I don't know, let me wear two pairs of sunglasses today. It's like, you look like a swat.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing. She, but there was no, I bet she literally just like,
just picked random numbers out, yeah.
I mean, like you would. Like, how fucking backwards can this place be? I tell you what, how about they don't even use the imperial system?
Yeah.
What's even more backwards than that?
And also, something that just annoyed me, really a disproportionate amount, but there was a woman, Harry passes by a woman complaining that dragon liver costs 17 sickles an ounce or whatever. 17 sickles is a galleon. Just fucking... Why? The number that that woman complains about is completely arbitrary. Just make her say 16. It would make so much more sense.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't be like, oh, that costs 100 pennies.
No.
You'd be like, no, costs a pound, love.
Yeah.
Or 99p.
Or even back in the day, I mean, I don't know what the old currency was. Right. Something to do with in like shillings.
Sixpence, shillings, half pence.
Tuppence? Or is that just two pennies?
Oh my God, I don't
Thruppence.
Even know. A cruppence? Yeah, I don't.
Sixpence? No, that's just sixpence.
I have octopence. You get out of here.
I need at least dodecapence. I think that's how it works. I think we've got a pretty firm grasp on that.
So he mentions Quidditch, and I wanted to know, is there any other wizarding sports?
Yeah, none that are mentioned as far as I can remember.
He's actually said, after I wrote that, he says, yeah, it's the wizarding, it's a wizard sport. It's like football. Everyone likes it or something like that. And I was like, it can't be the only one.
Yeah. But then there are a lot less wizards, apparently.
That's
so I just learned.
So true, yeah. So maybe they just only have Quidditch because, I guess they ain't got imagination for the other things, right?
Yeah.
Because anything else that involves like a regular ball, which is what most of our sports involve, right? They're like fucking muggles.
Yeah.
Let's put wings on ours. There you go. Yeah, so he meets Draco in Madame Malkin's. Draco's a cunt straight away.
Yeah, the note I had about that is Malfoy is a twat.
That's kind of it for the Diagon Alley chapter.
I guess so. My only other note is Gringotts is awesome.
Gringotts. I totally forgot about Gringotts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did have a note about that. Sorry. So Hagrid has Harry's key. In later books, randomers get things out of Harry's vault.
Do they?
Yeah, like Molly Weasley does and someone else does at some point. And I'm wondering, how do they do that without a key?
What do they get out of Harry's vault?
In book, I want to say book 5, Molly gets money out of Harry's vault when she goes shopping to buy their new school thing. So she buys Ron a new broom, I think, because he's been made prefect. And she's like, Harry, I got money out of your vault for you and I got you your school things.
Huh.
I'm like, how the fuck?
Oh, maybe it's just like, well, you would assume that Harry holds the key to his own vault.
Right.
Maybe they've got like just one that belongs to the Order of the Phoenix.
I don't know.
That seems a bit weird. Yeah. And also Harry doesn't seem to know about that, if that's the case.
Yeah. Maybe Molly just like, look, I know him. Let me in.
Yeah.
And the goblin's like, okay.
Yeah, maybe all of Harry Potter's like friends and associates are just famous enough by association.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or maybe she just took his key.
Maybe she polyjuice potioned into Harry. So yeah, I had Gringotts is awesome. Although would like some more like goblin lore throughout the series.
Same.
Because as far as we know, all goblins do is like work in Gringotts.
Yeah, and get really antsy about their like metals being used.
Yeah. There's a whole goblin like metalworks industry. Yeah. And we don't know anything about that. And I think it would have been really cool because goblins are this whole like other species that interacts with humans. And I don't know if there really is another one of those? Question mark.
What, another one? Like another species?
Another species that like... Oh, house elves. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they probably are. I probably just said that way too hastily.
I feel like the ones that are sort of like mildly humanoid and like serve a purpose.
Yeah, I guess there's centaurs in the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah, and the reason they're like kind of shut out is because they refuse to bow down to humans because they see themselves as superior.
Yeah.
So they're always living with like grumbles.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we should be out there. Said Hagrid.
Hanging your foot on the floor. But yeah, I would like to know more about the goblins because they seem like they got some cool secrets.
Yeah, there's probably like a ton of shit about them on Pottermore, which he like just fucking invented like last week.
Harry asks Hagrid, he wanted to buy a solid gold cauldron. Did I say that right? Solid gold cauldron.
He says solid gold.
Yeah, flashy wanker. Surely he knows he's going to be enough of like a pariah at school anyway. Get into potions and everyone else gets their pewter cauldrons out and he's like, oh, just...
Yeah, I just think it's that thing of like, oh, wow, look how shiny it is.
Yeah.
And because he saw all that gold in his vault, God, he's got so much gold.
Yeah.
So he's rich and a wizard. What a bastard.
Yeah. Okay, right, now we can move on to chapter 6. The journey to platform 9 3/4.
That's it. Well done, Tom. I wrote, Hagrid yet again proves how useless he is by not explaining anything about the train.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell me what to do at all.
No. And how do Muggle-born people know that? Because there's nothing in the...
Muggle-borns get a visit from McGonagall, I think. So, McGonagall.
Because otherwise they would just think the letter was a hoax.
Yeah, you would just think, what the fuck is this? This is like the kind of thing, like, you've won £1 million. If you send this off, you'll get it back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be, I think, for Muggle-borns, I think they get the letter, but there says you're going to get a visit from so-and-so, and then then McGonagall shows up.
Right.
And then she does a bit of magic.
And Harry gets Hagrid.
I bet McGonagall did want to go. And then Hagrid was like, no, I am going to go.
Yeah.
And McGonagall's like, no, Hagrid, I should go. He's like, no, I am going to go. So, yeah, I think that so she probably says, right, so this is the exact list of things you need. This is where you got to go. This is how you access it.
Yeah. Yeah, do all of them go on the Hogwarts Express?
I mean...
Well, they can't do, because if someone lives closer to Hogwarts than they do to London, they're not going to drive down to London. At the station, is there a group of tourists on standby ready to come and cluster around?
That's such a good point.
Because Harry's watching really carefully to try and see how like Fred or George or whoever it is get onto the platform or what they do. But a load of tourists swarm into his view and crowd it. And then when they disperse, he's gone.
I wonder if that barrier has a charm on it, a bit like the
that's probably what it is.
Thing. So maybe when you get close to it, you remember something that you need to get in another bit of the station, or you remember that you need to go to... So something like that deters you from it.
Yeah.
So you don't notice it, I think.
Or even like, just it creates some illusory people, or maybe it just, distorts visual fields around the area. So people looking at it are always... it's always blocked from people's view by various people walking around.
And as well, because the Muggle Prime Minister knows about this, maybe there's a agreement that between 8:30 and 9:30 on September 1st, no trains depart from platforms 9 or 10, so that there is as like there should be no people on the platform for most of that hour.
Yeah.
Which would make sense. I bet that, do you know what, that makes so much fucking sense. I bet she wouldn't have even thought of that.
Bet she didn't even fucking think about that, did she?
Silly bitch. Right, anyway.
So much of the like little like petty logistics of stuff we're just digging into.
Oh, God. I would love for her to like phone us up and be like, do you know what, you two, why don't you fuck off?
Yeah.
What fantasy series have you written?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, JK.
Sorry, but can I keep your number? Thanks.
Yeah.
So they get on the train. Harry meets the Weasleys, who are going to be the most important family he meets throughout this series.
Yeah.
He gets helped onto the train by Fred and George and Ron. What I did like, actually, and this is a pet peeve of mine in the books, when we first see Lee Jordan, she just describes him as a boy with dreadlocks, which I thought was nice, because in any other time you see a character of like any colour in the books, she always describes what colour they are and then what they look like. But if it's just a white character, she just says like what colour their like hair is and stuff. And that always bothers me a lot in books. I feel like if you're going to describe anyone's color, you should describe everyone's color just as part and parcel of describing what they look like. So yeah. I appreciate that she didn't say what color he was, just that he had dreadlocks. Because I thought, okay, I like that, even though it's the only time she does it. So I guess it was just a nice oversight on her part. So they get into their carriages. Ron comes and sits with Harry.
Yeah, Ron does a little bit of gawping.
Yeah, bloody hell, you Harry Moon. It's like, yeah,
yeah.
Harry lifts up his fringe. But yeah, so they become friends. Ron sort of notices that he's like gawping at Harry. Then the trolley lady comes by. Anything from the trolley, dude?
And Harry makes a much more, you know, reasonable purchases in the book than he does in the film.
Yeah, because I was waiting for the moment where he says, I'll take the lot, and it never happened. And I was like,
no, he just goes over and is amazed by all the sweets and never gets sweets before, and he has money, so he buys a shitload of them, which is fine.
Because he buys like sort of like a handful of pasties, a handful of chocolate frogs and all this crap. So he buys like, just a lot, but a pleasant amount.
Yeah. And, you know, if I had never seen any of these sweets and stuff and I had loads of money, I'd be like, I'll have a bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll take the lot. The fuck is that?
And also, the fact that she said yes in the film is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like,
she was like,
fucking
all right then. I bet she was like, all right then. And then she charged him like 6 galleons more.
Yeah.
And just like put it in her pocket. One thing I did notice, that Bertie Bott's seems like a really bad business model, because if so many of your beans suck, like,
I mean, they must make more of the nice flavoured ones. If they just make a completely even spread of every flavour there is, that's lucky to get a nice flavour.
I mean, have you ever had like the real life ones?
When I was a kid, I think.
Okay, not those ones, because those ones used to have like an exclamation mark on the shitty ones.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
The modern ones don't.
Oh, hardcore.
And I remember like, and I'm not even kidding, like I had 2 bags and about 95% of both bags were just left in the bag because they were just the shitty ones. And I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, Bertie Bott's horrible sweets.
Bertie Bott's punishment bean.
Yeah. Yeah, but there are so many sweets that like I wouldn't choose out of a lineup. And when I was a kid, occasionally you would have moments where all you've got is this one type of sweet, so you make the best of it. But I'm an adult now, like I buy what sweets I want.
Grown ass man.
Yeah, man. I'm actually like addicted to jelly babies.
I mean, maybe.
I'm slowly giving myself diabetes, drowning in sugar.
Yeah, you know, not everyone needs a left foot. I was quite touched at the lovely start of a friendship between Harry and Ron. I thought it was actually quite sweet.
Yeah.
It was quite innocent, but it's that kind of thing where I bet within half an hour, if Harry was like, I think that we should be best friends, Ron would have been like, yeah, okay. And it would have been like sincere, and then it would have carried on that way. I mean, they do kind of do that, just unspoken.
Yeah, I have to say. I think it's quite rare that that is actually spoken like that.
I think it's like, not common, but I think it's that thing when you're a kid, you're more readily accepting. You're quite open to friends.
Yeah, there's a lot of social politics that gets like ingrained in you when you're an adult.
Yeah, if you just get over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, life's too short. But it's not really. There's literally nothing longer that you can do.
It's so true.
Okay, so here's a good question, right? So Ron does the spell on the rat, but doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
So that's something buttermellow, turn this stupid fat rat yellow. And then I put, how are spells created, though? And do they all have to be in Latin?
Yeah, because Snape creates Sectum Sempra, and he's got loads of crossings out of the incantation in the book. We're skipping ahead a few books now. But I've often wondered that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you hone in on the right words? And what is it about Latin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, what? Why does it have to be the right word for a spell that you've created? Because then that would have to mean that the spell exists in the ether already and you're just simply trying to locate it. Do you know what I mean?
This is the whole magic system is... So, because I'm a massive nerd, I've heard this guy, Brandon Sanderson, talk a lot. The guy who wrote the Mistborn novels.
Oh, yeah.
He has this thing, because magic systems are his real thing,
right?
He talks about hard magic systems and soft magic systems.
Yeah.
And a hard magic system is one where you have rules, like strict rules, that the characters have to obey, and by the end of the book the reader becomes an expert in those rules and knows exactly what can and can't be done. And it's all about having the characters come up with creative uses for it. Whereas a soft magic system is one that is left quite open and mysterious about how it actually works, and people use that to create kind of a sense of wonder. Like, I know you're not, you don't, not into Lord of the Rings, but Lord of the Rings has a very soft magic system. Like, no one can really explain how the magic works in Lord of the Rings. Gandalf just occasionally kind of does some cool shit, and I think the Harry Potter magic system is quite a soft magic system. In that it does have, it has rules in that you need to point your wand a certain way and say an incantation and you get a certain result, but no one like what we're talking about, no one quite understands the way that it actually functions.
I guess so. I would, you know, I would say then, I would say that I think it's a like a semi-hard magic system. That's that way, so it's child friendly. I would say, because I think there is quite specific rules, but not everything is explained. So like this, we don't know. But I think, because she has said before, I was really adamant about getting the rules in place before I started writing, just so that there were boundaries and that not just anything could happen. So I think there are, there's, because when you think about it, when you go through the books, there's a ton of rules and a ton of like, we can't do that because of this, like Gamp's like elemental laws of, no, the Gamp's five exceptions to the elemental laws of magic that Hermione brings up in book seven. So she uses that to explain why they can't just magic food out of nowhere. And so I was like, okay, so it's really specific in that kind of thing. But like right now, there is no rhyme or reason as to why spells are the way they are. Because you can't just invent spells. Well, you can, obviously, but there's you can't just like make something rhyme and it's a spell. In fact, there are no like rhyming spells in Harry Potter.
No, I guess.
Like, there's no like incantations. They're all just like
Avada Kedavra.
Okay, so there's one.
Nice little fun rhyme.
Okay, yeah, but there's no like, they're all like sort of collections of phrases or just like words one after the other. There's not like an actual like, say like a four line incantation or anything like that. Which is a bit like,
Yeah, they're very specific short phrases that produce very specific, usually like instant effects.
And I've got another question about that, but it's sort of unnecessary bringing it up at the start of the very first book.
Okay,
so another question I had was, not a question, but I thought, because Hermione comes in and she's being a bitch as per usual. And I was like, Hermione goes on the offensive, and I think it's because of insecurity. So I think she's often used to being like the, I think she's been bullied a lot when she was younger, because I think she was quite, she was probably bookish really early on. So I think she sort of has this thing of, she got used to being like mocked or like people not liking her because of how like smart she is and how like know-it-all she is. So now I think she almost uses that as a way of creating a distance between her and other people on her own terms instead of having to wait for them to not like her. I think that's why she does it, because she comes in and she's like, oh, is that a real spell? Blah, blah, blah. And she says something else shitty.
That's some deep psychoanalysis.
No, I think it is true. I think that's why she starts crying later, because Ron, what does Ron say? Like, no one likes her.
Oh, she's a nightmare and no one, And so all of her efforts to create the distance on her own terms have failed because Ron's pushing her back.
And I think it's
sort of... Future wife.
She didn't, so, what's her name?
J.K. Rowling?
Yeah, her.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, that one, yeah.
What's Emma Watson? She did an interview with J.K. Rowling and they talked about them getting married. And then J.K. Rowling was like, yeah, when I think about it now, it wasn't, in reality, she wouldn't have ended up with Ron, because there's just too many, they're too different. And it'd have been too problematic. They were, and even if they did get married, they would have probably got divorced quite soon after. She probably would have ended up with Harry.
Yeah, that's it. Harry and Hermione is a much better match.
It's much more harmonious.
Yeah. But it's obvious, I guess. And it would be, I think it would have been a shame if the main female character was the love interest of the main viewpoint character in the end.
Yeah, I do agree.
And it's nice that she wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. Right, so they arrive at the place. Hogwarts.
They arrive in that. First year is this way.
Yeah, and they get in the boat.
Yep.
I would have hated that.
They get in the boats. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, it doesn't sound fun, but, you know.
And it's fucking, like, September, and it's, like, night.
It's night. They're getting in little boats to go across a lake. Yeah. I bet. I mean, there's no way the inside of those boats are dry. Maybe they're magic boats. I don't know.
They probably are. I mean, there's
They row themselves, don't they?
Yeah,
they push themselves.
No copyright infringement intended. And so sea hoggles. I'd be thinking the whole time, what is in this fucking lake? Turns out there is a giant squid in the lake.
Yeah.
Which would terrify me. Oh my God. Like, do you know when, is it in book two or three when Colin Creevy falls in, or his brother falls in and he gets rescued by the giant squid?
Yeah.
I was like, if I saw that coming towards me, I would have just snapped my own neck in the water.
Like, I don't know. I'm one of these people who's very much like, well, if people do it every year, then I'm sure it's fine.
No, I would have been like, look, is there a less aquatic way of getting across this?
Hagrid, you know how you flew across that lake to get me on the... Yeah. Well, we're at Hogwarts now, so can you just... So they get into the thing, and then they're in, what, a little, like, holding chamber or something, like, off the side of the Great Hall.
Yeah, it's weird, because in the films, they're just in the entryway to the Great Hall.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a staircase in the movies, and there's not in the later movies.
I haven't watched the movies, they go up
a staircase before they go into the Great Hall, and that's not how it is in the later films.
Continuity. Like,
yeah.
But my big thing about this is that none of them know what the sorting ceremony is going to be.
That's so true, yeah.
And, like, they've all... I mean, there's a thing about, like, Fred and George have, like, lied to Ron about what it's going to be just to, like, make fun. But, like... Hermione's read so many fucking books. The Sorting Hat
is
famous.
That's so true. She's read Hogwarts of History.
Yeah. And the Sorting Hat is a famous thing. Yeah. Like, they would
know. Does she say that she doesn't know?
No, but it says that she's frantically trying to go through all the spells that she knows, like, at the point where Harry's thinking it's going to be a test of some kind.
Oh, right. Maybe it's quite vague, so maybe the Sorting Hat just says, yeah, so the sorting ceremony sorts the students into these houses via the Sorting Hat. Like, literally one of the first things that Hagrid says about any of the houses, he goes, Hufflepuff for a bunch of duffers.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, shit, son, okay. Because even though he says, like, it's better than being in Slytherin, he says... There's not a witch or wizard that has gone bad that is not in that hasn't been in Slytherin, which is not true at all. But in a sort of like grand sense, it kind of is. But straight away, we're sort of given this thing that all Slytherins are bad. But at least there's like a very strong aspect to their characters, you know, like they're cunning and blah blah blah. There's like a sense of achievement in that.
Yeah.
Where that's all the other houses, there's like a sense of achievement attached to their like trait. Because, like, they're courageous, you go after what you want. You're, like, you're cunning, you find ways to get what you want. You're smart, you use your intelligence to get what you want. You're loyal.
You just kind of accept everyone and...
Yeah, you don't try hard, you know.
Yeah, you just let stuff happen. Yeah, you're passive.
You accept the status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like that she sort of ragged on them so hard straight away. It's all her own fault. Hufflepuff's never going to be, like, the house you want to be in.
No.
Even when Cedric was in Hufflepuff... Like, it was still a shit.
And he was totally a Gryffindor anyway.
He so was. Like, in every respect.
Yeah.
Alas.
Next thing I've got is, they're in the banquet hall. Snape shoots a look at Harry past Quirrell's turban and his scar hurts.
Yeah.
So do we think that's just Voldy's face looking at Harry out the back of Quirrell's turban?
I mean, it must be, right? Why didn't the scar hurt earlier?
Yeah. Was it, did Voldemort just happen to pick the exact moment to glance at Harry that Snape did?
But has it got anything to do with him looking at him?
Well, it's written in the way that, like, the hook-nosed teacher glanced and looked straight at Harry.
Mm.
And in that moment, the burst of pain flashed across his forehead.
But that was just because Quirrell happened to be in the vicinity, right?
Yeah, well, he was talking to Quirrell. Snape was talking to Quirrell up at the high table, and it says Snape looked directly past the back of Quirrell's turban and made direct eye contact with Harry. Paraphrasing, but Quirrell's turban is mentioned in the moment where Snape looks at Harry and his scar hurts.
Does Harry's scar hurt at any other time that is quite a passive interaction with like the turban like that? I know it hurts like much later on, of course.
Yeah, but I don't know. But obviously, it's like the intent there is to paint Snape as the villain.
But I'm wondering if it's because Snape was in the vicinity with Voldemort that...
Well, that must be it.
That there was something about that three-way connection that made the scar hurt, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was obviously the fact that Voldemort was there.
Yeah. It is weird that it didn't hurt when he met him before.
Yeah, because you'd assume that when they met in the Leaky Cauldron,
yeah,
he had Vold head then. Anyway. I feel like he might not have even had Voldemort in him, in his head at that point.
No, he definitely did.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he got Voldemort possessed him in Albania.
Yeah.
That before he even came back to Hogwarts. I've abbreviated it to D-Dor.
D-Dor.
So, yeah, to D-Dor's few words would have made me hate him. Yeah. Like, I just got a few words to say. What does it say? Like hub, grub, something, pubbed and squeak, yeah, or something.
Something like that. And then I would have had a moment of confusion and then go, oh, he was trying to be funny.
Yeah, I'd have been like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, this is the great Dumbledore.
Yeah. alas, earwax.
Alas, earwax.
What does that say? Wizarding? Oh, God, right. So we're talking about the food they're eating, right?
Yeah.
And like the roast beef and blah, blah. And I put that Wizarding farming is probably relatively humane because I bet they just Avada Kedavra all the animals.
Well, that's illegal.
No, it's illegal to do it on other people.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not just illegal to cast out those
when
spells?
No, when what's his name? Fake Moody's given the talk about it. He says, use of this charm on any other human is punishable by death, not by whatever sentence in Azkaban. But then he uses it on the spiders and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And Dumbledore's just given him permission to do that. See, I'm betting that in like abattoirs, they just avoid a cadaver all the animals. So I thought that must be pretty nice. Like an actual painless death.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd probably eat meat in that scenario. Unless.
I probably would also.
What? Are you vegetarian now?
No.
Oh, Jesus. What does that say? If I was headmaster, I would have killed Peeves on day one. Yeah.
Yeah, Peeves is what the fuck. Also, it nearly had one of the ghosts says he's not a proper ghost anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And so a poltergeist is obviously like a separate thing. But what's the rules with ghosts carrying stuff? Because they pass through physical things,
yeah.
But Peeves throws physical things at them.
Yeah, so Peeves, I think the deal with poltergeist, I think Peeves is literally like a manifestation of like residual energies. So I think it's like literally like being the place, obviously it's a magic school. I think he's sort of just all like the collection of magical energy. I think it's something to do with like, it's sort of like a psychic phenomenon from students and things that has eventually created this.
So he's not the spirit of a dead person, like a ghost.
Yeah, no, so he wasn't anyone before, he just was, like, created. There is a thing about him on Pottermore, and it was something like that, as far as I can remember. So, yeah, that's why he's, like, physical and can do things and stuff. And I just think, why would you tolerate... That is such, like... I feel like so much of this is written, like, it's, like, a school in the 50s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so I always think, especially when this was written, just people wouldn't tolerate that kind of nonsense. You just wouldn't.
No.
And I just, oh.
It is very much, the old timely Englandness of it.
Yeah, it's like Enid Blyton, like.
Yeah.
That sort of, and it just angers me so much because throughout this entire series, so much really horrible shit happens at this school, which would require some students to even have like counselling, I think. And so much of it is like preventable. And yet no one does anything about it. No one does anything about bullying. No one does anything about sort of like abuse or anything like that. Even the way that Snape is to his students, no one does anything about it. And it's like, why? Why did Dumbledore just let these things happen?
Yeah, I know.
He's such an asshole.
And then like the last thing that happens, I think, is Harry has a dream.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. His dream is like really cool foreshadowing of like, because he's wearing Quirrell's turban and it's talking to him and saying you should be in Slytherin, but then Snape manifests somehow.
Yeah.
And it's all like really, really great foreshadowing. And then he wakes up and she says, and Harry didn't remember the dream at all, which really annoyed me.
That seems weird.
Because it's a viewpoint shift.
Yeah.
Like as like from a sort of writing perspective, like the whole thing is very much fixed Harry's viewpoint. Yeah. But then to say, and he didn't remember this happening, kind of switches just for that one sentence to like a sort of omniscient viewpoint, which is a whole different narration style. And I found it really like jarring and weird. I don't know why it's important for him to not remember it. He could have just easily just chalked it up as a dream because he's had all this new shit happen to him.
I guess so.
I just found it weirdly jarring.
I wouldn't have even noticed it, to be honest, if you hadn't brought it up. But no, I did think it was kind of... But I thought it was weird they didn't remember it, seeing as every other Voldemort dream is actually quite vivid.
Yeah.
That's the only dream he has that's not a, like a memory or a vision from Voldemort, like himself. So I did think that was a bit odd.
Chapter 8, last chapter. I don't actually have too many notes for this one.
Three notes.
Me too.
Oh, wow. Unagi.
So how does it... It starts with mutters of him being famous. And this is just a... I think this whole chapter is just generally kind of setting the tone for Harry's day-to-day life at Hogwarts. Yeah. Because we haven't seen any of that yet. So this is, it's just kind of... This is a day in the life of Harry as a Hogwarts student.
I guess so, yeah. Because, I mean, obviously it dies down, I imagine, as time goes on. But yeah, I guess... I just don't want Harry to be famous, I guess. He can't be rich, a wizard, and famous. Like,
yeah, but fame, like, is fame that desirable?
I mean, maybe not in this day and age.
Nah.
Just because we know so much about his pitfalls, right? So yeah, they go into lessons and shit.
Yeah, you know, Flitwick gets all excited when he reads out Harry's name. They have a transfiguration lesson.
Yeah, McGonagall seems like such a fucking, like, dry piece of board. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she does. She's a proper, again, old-timely headmistress
vibe.
Oh
my God, yeah, totally. Yeah.
And Harry gets her thing, inviting him to tea at Hagrid's.
Oh, yeah. And he says yes.
Yeah.
Well, big mistake.
I mean, I mean, at this point, I totally get why Harry still likes Hagrid.
Yeah, I mean, he's not done anything bad other than strand him at King's Cross. Which, to be fair, that would be like strike one in my books.
Yeah.
Like two more strikes and I'm cancelling this shit. Yeah. I swear both other strikes happen in this fucking book.
Probably. But like, you know, Hagrid was his... brought him into the world. Brought him into the wizarding world and was his, like, you know, has been his friend.
That's true. He's been his first friend, really. Yeah.
And so I think Harry would be looking forward to seeing Hagrid to sort of catch up, because he hasn't made any massive blunders and inconvenienced Harry's life in too big of a way yet. So I can see why Harry would want to do that.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, if I was Harry, I'd probably be not desperate, I'd be really, like, grateful for anyone who'd shown that level of care for me.
Yeah.
I guess. He's going to regret it.
and they were told about the corridor that's out of bounds on the third floor.
Yeah, why is it out of bounds?
Because Fluffy's there guarding the trap door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait to get to those chapters. No.
But we know it can be unlocked with a simple spell that the first years get taught.
Literally, the one spell that every wizarding person knows...
Yeah, and it's so it's no more, the lock's no more enchanted than that.
That, I think that was such an oversight.
It doesn't make sense that they can just get, that the first years can just use a simple unlock spell and get in through this door.
It's almost not even a spell like that unlocks, it's just what we use to open a door.
Yeah.
Like, because you wouldn't lock, if you were a wizard, you wouldn't lock your house with a muggle lock. Because other wizards could just Aloha Moria, you'd have a wizard lock.
Yeah.
That couldn't be Aloha Morad. Like Umbridge's door in book 5. She has a special enchantment on her door. You'd have that. But no, Dumbledore just has a fucking normal lock and a giant fucking Cerberus guarding a trapdoor.
Yeah.
That man, I can't.
Yeah, even. That man. He just doesn't hold his students' lives in high regard.
I just think he fucking loves he loves the drama. So they're not allowed on that thing. And then they get into Snape's classroom, right?
Yeah, so Snape...
Snape. Severus.
Snape is obviously, you know, brave hero and whatever, but the man is a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
And especially going back and reading these parts now, because by the time that his true, like, quote-unquote heroic nature gets revealed at the end, Harry hasn't had that much interaction, that much direct interaction with Snape. Like,
that's
in,
true.
Like, the last... And so you kind of forget that by the time that his true motivations get revealed, it's been quite a long time since Snape has directly been an asshole to Harry. And so you're kind of like, oh, all this time he was just doing it for these reasons. But now you go, now reading this early stuff again and seeing exactly how much of a cunt like he is.
Straight away. Like literally straight away. The boy has done nothing.
Exactly.
And he's like, he looks like James.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't imagine, like, who do I... There are people that... were like, that like bullied me in the past, that I fucking hate. But if they had a child, I wouldn't even dream of like being any kind of way to their kid, you know? Yeah, I just wouldn't.
Exactly.
It's just so, I think Snape is actually a sociopath.
Yeah.
Because sociopaths are, the one distinction from psychopaths is that sociopaths are able to develop like deep bonds with specific people. So they are capable of love. But it's usually highly specific, and a lot of the like lovely things that accompany loving someone don't necessarily accompany that in a sociopath. Like they're still like almost 100% selfish and that kind of thing. So I think Snape is that. In fact, I think he's definitely that, because when you see things of him as a little boy, he very much like echoes that kind of like, he has that vibe, because he just doesn't, oh, what does he say? He says something about Petunia later on that is like quite dismissive of her. I mean, this is like massive thingy, forwardy thingy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
And like Lily, when she's a kid, she like castigates. It's something, it definitely begins with cast and ends in z.
Castrates him?
Yeah, so she gets a, you know, a knife and just cuts off his balls. What? Like, we don't talk like that here.
What? So she does this, Lily does this to Snape?
Yeah, so they're having, because they become friends, right?
Yeah.
And they're having a chat about stuff. And then he says, yeah, when we go to Hogwarts and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, yeah, but your sister can't come. She's like, why not? And then he's like, oh, because she's like a... He says something really, he says because she's a muggle, but he says something quite offensive about muggles in the same sentence. And then Lily's like, she's my sister, Snape. Yeah, so he's asking him to answer questions that he obviously wouldn't know.
Yeah, it is castigate.
Is it? Yeah. Swish. I wasn't a fool.
I have never heard that word before in my life. Yeah, to reprimand someone severely.
Yeah, there
you
go.
There you go.
So yeah, he, I feel like he does that to try and, like, in a small way, just get a little bit of his own back on James by making Harry look like a fool in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I thought that's fucking petty as fuck.
Yeah, like, it is. He's just an, like, an awful human being. Like, an excellent, like, amazingly talented and powerful wizard and everything. And in the end, arguably has a massive part to play in the overall saving of the day. Your waveforms have very, your laugh waveforms have very specific pattern.
I know. I kind of don't know why, and I'm also kind of slightly annoyed by it. You know, I didn't realize, I had almost like a kind of quality to my laugh. I was like, ugh, alas.
Earwax.
I put that the Draught of Living Death sounds dope. He's like, a sleep potion so powerful, they call it the Draught of Living Death. And I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell.
That was a pretty good Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Not your best, but that was pretty good. Yeah. And then, well, certainly in the films anyway, Professor Slughorn tasks them with creating a Draught of Living Death.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a death potion.
Is it?
Yeah, because he drops a leaf in the end and it goes shh, and it immediately dies.
I think that's film specific, though. I don't think he does it in the book.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Because
I think in the book, I don't think he says what it does.
Also, Snape tells them how this is like a sixth year, you know, NEWT level potion that they're drafting. And Snape tells them that you mix this and this in literally their first lesson in year one.
Oh my God, okay.
So I think it must be a different thing.
I reckon because
that's how Harry wins this Felix Felicis, because he uses the Half-Blood Prince's book to make it.
Yeah, I do remember him dropping the leaf in, but yeah, I think that's like film stuff. Because obviously it wouldn't be the Draught of Living Death, it'd just be the Draught of Death, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or the Death Draught. Or the Killy Draught.
It was a very Killy Draught in here. Imagine that. So every now and then, like, the Killy Draught would come.
You so know that's what they called, like, the pox back in, like, the back in the... Oh, no, you don't let in the Killy Draught.
It would just kill someone. Someone gets caught by the Killy Draught the wrong way.
You see, like, the curtain flutter and you're like... Mom! And he mentioned some other ones, like... He said, I can't remember if this is film specific, like the bottling fame. and yeah. that kind of thing.
Bottle fame, brew glory, and
yeah.
then the living death thing, I think.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. But yeah, so then he asks them all these stuff that no one else in the class knows apart from fucking Hermione, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, mate, like, two more instances of that and I would have gone to Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Or my head of house and been like, look, I think he's got a problem with me and it's not really on.
Yeah.
He could have just done that. This whole... No, his sport is Harry. He's got too much fucking pride.
Yeah, no, he's going to deal with it himself. He's going to yeah. take it like the like the Gryffindor yeah. martyr he is.
He's such a wanker. Oh, God. yeah, I don't think I've got any other notes for this chat, so I can't even think of how it ends.
My next note is Ron just invites himself to Hagrid's.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He literally says, can I come to Hagrid's too? Which I guess is, again, like you say, just kids cutting out the bullshit.
Yeah, and I quite like that.
Yeah.
And all, I think there's a real thing about when you don't lose that, because it does just become rude when you get older.
Yeah.
But it often yields the result that you want, you know? So I think when people
no one can say no.
Exactly.
How was Harry going to say, no?
But I think there's a sort of, there's a power in being both the person who asked that question as an adult and the person who says no to that question as an adult. And when you get, when those two forces meet, I think it's quite like a reckoning. Do you know what I mean? It's quite exciting to watch. But yeah.
Yeah. So Ron goes with Harry to yeah. Hagrid's.
Yeah. And the fucking dog as well.
Oh, the dog. I don't know how Hagrid feels about Ron turning up.
It's probably like, ooh, I don't want gingers in my house.
Oh, Harry puts away the ball gag. We didn't realise you were bringing a friend.
Yeah, oi, don't look over there, Harry. He just pulls out like the curtain in front of his like seductive picture. Oh, he had like an easel and some charcoal set up.
And a chaise lounge.
No, but he says to Ron, oh, how's your brother?
Yeah, he's like, oh, another Weasley, eh? And he knows who he yeah. is, yeah.
So I'm wondering how, I mean, I'm guessing he was friends with, is it Bill, who's the dragon, like, trainer?
Yeah. No.
Who's the other one?
Bill works for Gringotts, and Charlie.
Charlie, that's it, yeah. He's the dragon person, guy. Yeah. Yeah, so he might, I bet that they were friends.
Yeah, probably.
Like, friends. Has Hagrid got any real friends?
Harry's his friend.
Harry is his friend. Harry's my friend. Okay, Hagrid. Okay, so yeah, he asked him about him, which is almost insulting that straight away he wants to know about someone who's not you. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, how are you, Ron? It's nice to meet you. It's like, oh, you're a Weasley, yeah, as your brother. So yeah. Yeah, he's fine. I'm okay too, I guess. See, that's a
I
bit...
I don't know. That's a common thing, isn't it? You ask about, like,
after a while,
a common thing you have as a way of, like, breaking the ice with someone.
I guess
new.
So, but I would want to be asked about me first.
Hmm.
Or just something, I don't know, Hagrid, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like that should be, like, a phrase we use. Not for that, but just, you know, oh, well, you know, Hagrid.
Just about general
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, just when stuff happens.
Just when stuff like a replacement for like shit happens.
Yeah, I love it. And then
in their meeting with, well, their meeting, their little tea date with Hagrid, there's a copy of the Daily Prophet open or something, and Harry's reading about the Gringotts breaking, and Hagrid's all secretive and shady, and he's like, oh, no, I don't know anything about that, and changes the subject, and Harry... Yeah. Harry, you know, puts the pieces together that, oh, it's probably the package that Hagrid took from the vault.
Yeah, because doesn't he notice that the vault number is the same vault number that they went to or something? So he knows it's the same one.
He notices that it happened on his birthday because it says the date that the break-in happened, which is his birthday,
yeah.
and that they were there on his birthday as well. So it happened the same day that they were there.
Huh. So why has it taken like a month to get in the papers?
Don't know. That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess I get why it's taken Harry a month to find out about it, because he's been away from the wizarding world.
Do you think maybe it's like a really old issue?
Maybe.
Then why would you have Hagrid's like just... 30 others?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's definitely a hoarder, you know, got like a stack of all the papers.
Where would he put it, though? He's only got a little hut.
Yeah, but maybe that's what his mattress is made out of. Just gets more and more comfy as the years go by.
Just gets taller and taller. Anyway, I keep looking at my phone to see what notes I have, and I don't have any more notes.
I mean, the chat pretty much ends after that, didn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty. We've kind of been teased with the beginnings of the sort of mystery.
Yeah,
like the initial mystery of the book, which is Harry's a wizard. He's going to wizarding school. This fantastical stuff's happening, and that's kind of been.
That's so weird that you just said that, because that's when J.K. Rowling when J.K. Rowling talks about how she had the idea for Harry Potter. She almost says what you said, like, verbatim. That's how it came into her head.
Really?
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
Are you J.K. Rowling?
Shh.
Shh. Be quiet. That's not my hand. It's just a friendly mouse. Oh, shit.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling likes to disguise herself as a 30-year-old man and make podcasts about her own books.
To be fair, how fucking, like, rad would that actually be?
And just completely dissect them. There were anyway, when I was going over these chapters, I was quite often just forgetting that I was supposed to be like making notes about stuff to say on a podcast.
I was like, wow, it's so magical.
Yeah, I was just enjoying it.
Do you know what's weird? Because my habit is like, ugh, what like shitty thing can I say about this?
Yeah.
And then there were bits where I was like, well, there's nothing really shitty I can say about this. Have you got any other observations? I was like, just that it's great.
And so that's why I try to write occasional things like Gringotts is awesome.
Yeah.
I fucking love Gringotts. It's such a cool idea. It's a cool fantasy invention.
Yeah, it is really cool.
And there's a lot of that. And we do focus on the bits that don't make any sense, just because it's funnier to do that.
Yeah,
rather than just sit here and fucking jack each other off about Harry Potter.
That's why I love that bit when it's all the thing. Yeah, me too. If you're listening to this, then you probably love Harry Potter, so you'll fucking know how good it is.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be making a podcast about it unless we loved it.
I think that like Hagrid should be our yeah.
Hagrid.
Yeah. So I've been Gifton.
I'm Tom.
And Hagrid.